apparently am speaking this morning. The question that always comes to my mind at this time of year is, does David Johnson know what he looks like? David, just stand up and let everybody see. Yes. Was that? Just a minute. How come he gets a clap for wearing that ridiculous outfit and I've got my Porsche jumper on? No clap. What is it? What is it about presents that gets us so excited? I want to read to you from Luke's Gospel this morning, and it's the story of the giving of the best present ever. And it's the reason that we give each other presents at this time of year. I'm going to read to you from Luke chapter 2. And it says there, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Listen to this next bit. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Let me just read that to you again, because if you're familiar with this passage of the Bible, the impact of this might not strike you, but I want you to imagine you are a shepherd. You're out in the fields, it's dark, it's cold, and suddenly a light appears and this being appears in front of you. Now, we don't know what they looked like, but almost every time in the Bible an angel appears, the first thing they have to say to human beings is, "Don't be afraid." Something about their appearance is just overwhelming. But for them to look up into the sky and see the sky filled with these beings, it was one of the few occasions where the concert outnumbered the audience to a huge degree. And this was all put on for a handful of shepherds. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Now, something you need to know about shepherds. Today, in Scotland, if you work as a shepherd, that's a very dignified job. But in those days, if you couldn't get a job in any other area, you would work as a shepherd. It was considered to be the lowest of the low jobs. And so if you tried everything else and you couldn't get any work, either because you had a criminal record, which was quite common amongst the shepherds, and so they couldn't get work anywhere else, or because they came from such a poor family, they couldn't get any education or anything like that, then the last resort was to go and be a shepherd out in the hills sleeping rough every night. It's a little bit like being a marine surveyor today. If you can't get anything else, go to sea. Well, for these shepherds, this was an incredible experience. And when we read it, because we've heard it maybe so many times Christmas before, you get familiar with these stories. But imagine what it was like for them. They're lying there in the dark. Now, what's their job? Their job is to keep an ear open all night for any unwanted visitors. Now, that could be wolves. It could be bears. There were even lions in Israel at that time. And if one of these animals was to come nearby, they would pick up a stick from the fire and they'd go and chase the animal away with the fire. These were brave men, but it wasn't a nice job. For them to suddenly be visited by heaven. And what's the angel said to them? The angel said to them, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. In other words, guys, you're the first to know. Other than Mary and Joseph, the first people to know were these humble shepherds in the fields who couldn't get a job in any other area, and the whole of heaven was organized to come and sing to them that night. A choir was organized in heaven. God would have said to the angel, this is what I want you to say. And by the way, I want you to speak in Hebrew today, because these guys only understand the Hebrew language. And when the choir lines up, they're all told, here are the words you're all going to be singing, and you're going to be singing in the Hebrew language. It was personalized for these shepherds that night. And that wasn't the gift. That was just the announcement of the gift. The gift was the baby in the manger. At the risk of embarrassing my wife, the most exciting present she ever got was when she was a little girl. And she went down on Christmas morning, and there beside the Christmas tree was a desk. She had always wanted her own school desk. And forgive me, Alison, but I am told by the rest of her family that she more or less danced on tiptoe, squealing in a high-pitched voice, for me, for me, for me, for me. She still does that a little bit, I have to say. But it's not as exciting when you get a bucket and a chamois leather from the garage or a Black & Decker power center that your husband's going to use for you, you know. But she danced around the room saying, for me, for me, for me. See, the best presents have three elements to them. The first is there's a bit of planning. There's a bit of thought that goes behind them. Ian was telling us this week of one of his friends who was given a Secret Santa present. Now, this is in Buckingham Palace. You would expect better than that, right? But one of the staff was given a Secret Santa present, and it was the free calendar from the Chinese restaurant. So a lot of thought went into that one. Yeah. Wrapped up, though, in Christmas paper, so I suppose maybe that counters it a little bit. But a present that's got some planning, some thought behind it, that's the best kind of present. And then the next thing you like is for the present to be expensive. Yeah? The expensive ones are the really good ones. And then, thirdly, you want it to be personal. Something that not everybody else is getting. Something that's just for you. And as Alison was, as a wee girl, shouting, for me, for me, for me, for me. The gift of Jesus, the baby Jesus, is all three of these things. 2,000 years earlier, walking up the slopes of Mount Moriah, Abraham had turned to his son and said, God will provide himself a lamb. It was a prophecy. God will provide himself a lamb for the offering. 2,000 years. And 2,000 years later, the angel appeared and said, guys, you're the first to know. The Lamb of God had arrived. 2,000 years from Abraham to when the prophecy was fulfilled. Exactly the same time as the time from when the first Christmas happened to where we are now. It was a long time in the planning. And God had a wonderful gift for not just these shepherds, but for the whole world. That he would come himself in the form of a man, that he would teach us how to live, and then would die for our sins to set us free from the penalty of our bad lives. It was a long time in the planning, but it was personal. It was delivered in their language. It was lined up above their fields. It was delivered to them with a personal message of love, direct from God. And it was for them. Now, just for a minute, I want you to just forget that there's anybody else in the room. Just you and me. Now, God has a message for you this morning. And it's not for everybody else. It is, but I want you to think, this is just for you. And God says to you this morning, he says, I want you to know something. I love you. I want you to know that I know what you're going through at the moment. I know all the stresses that you've got in your life. I know all the difficulties that you're facing, your health issues, your family issues, your money issues, your work issues, your relationship issues. I know about it all, says God. And I would love you to just get in touch. And that's God's message to you this morning. He loves you and he wants you to get in touch. And you know, the price of his present was incredibly expensive. The same baby Jesus grew up to face Easter as well as Christmas. And he bled to death on a cross for you. How much more can he show you how much he loves you? And this Christmas, he's saying, look, great that you're sharing presents and remembering my gift, but have you accepted mine yet? Or is it still lying unopened under the tree? I love you, says God. I've done everything for you. You need to reach out to me and ask for forgiveness. And I'll give you, not just forgiveness, I'll give you eternal life. And the nice thing is, it doesn't matter who you are. You might have a criminal record. God doesn't care about that. You might have come from a poor background. God doesn't care about that. You might not have a very exciting job. God doesn't care about that. What he wants is to tell you that he loves you and he wants you to love him back. Such a simple message this morning. But please don't forget the message. God loves you and he wants you to love him back. For me. For everybody. The Apostle Paul, he had some record. He had arranged for people to be put in prison who believed in Jesus. He'd stood back and held the coats of people that stoned a Christian one day. Who knows how many other people he was involved in their murder. And yet in Galatians 2, he says of Jesus, he's the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. For me. He couldn't believe it. He never could get over it, that God had loved someone like him. So this Christmas, enjoy the presents. Have a great time. Eat too much. It's traditional. I'm going to be doing that myself. In some measure. But most of all, when you get up on Christmas morning, would you just say happy birthday to Jesus? Would you just say thank you to Jesus for coming and paying the penalty of our sins and giving us his unspeakable gift? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning that you know each one of us intimately, that you prepared for us a wonderful gift by coming as Jesus to take away our sins. And we pray, Lord, that the reality of that will strike home this Christmas, that as we celebrate, we'll also say thank you. So, Lord, bless us, we pray. Help us to have a wonderful Christmas season and not to let it pass without reaching out and opening that present that you've given to us in Jesus. We ask these things in his name. Amen.